Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Apples Health. So you start your career and got passion, you got drive. Then it takes a left turn and maybe another left turn. But then you realize you landed exactly where you belong. And that's exactly who we have today, the legendary Lonnie Quinn, who went from soap opera actor to science geek, studying the science of meteorology, to becoming one of the most well-known weathermen in this country. The story is a special one indeed, and believe it or not, there was a point in his career where he was an unsung hero, and that's the story that needed to be told. It is my sincere honor to welcome Lonnie Quinn to Game Recognizes Game, my friend. Lonnie, welcome, man.
Oh, man, I gotta tell you, it's like you said, my friend. You and I have been buddies for, my gosh, 18 years.
A long
and
time.
I am sitting across from you.
This is cool, man. Thanks for being here, bud. We've been, you know, I've known you a long time. Mm-hmm. And as we got to know each other, the stories come out. And when you told me, oh, yeah, I started as a soap opera actor. So, a matter of fact, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I get that. So, you got to tell me, you started, where'd you go from? I know you played high school sports and. Tell me that story.
So it's all through high school. I'm like the sports guy. I was a cross country runner, a swimmer, a track runner, baseball player. So there you go. That was my high school career. It's time now to go to college, right? So off I go to college. I go to BC, go to Boston College, have a great time there.
Big East.
I had always loved weather. Always loved that. As a matter of fact, Marty, I'm a little boy. Let's say I'm maybe 6 or 7 years old. I'm one of 7 kids, and we've got this big backyard. We would all be playing whatever, kickball, whatever in the background, right?
Irish folk.
That always comes up. And I'm lying in the grass while my brothers and sisters are, like, you know, running around doing their thing, and I'm just fascinated as a little kid, Marty.
Love that. Love
watching,
it.
Like, I watch. Who knew that there were all these different, you know, levels in the atmosphere? I'm 7 years old, and I'm watching some clouds move this way, and I'm watching other clouds move this way. I'm like, how is that even possible? So when I went to Boston College, I became a broadcast communications major. I wanted to be a weatherman, all right? And did my internship at WBZ my senior year.
BZ is a college campus radio?
No, WBZ is in, no, that's Boston's... They've changed their affiliation a couple of times, whether they were NBC or ABC at that point in time. Yeah. But no, it was a big player in Boston. And so that's where I did my internship. And the thing is, that didn't go so great for me because they just weren't equipped at that point in time to really mentor. They're so busy. I mean, news is such a busy business that I was basically delegated to, like, you know, picking up laundry and getting, you know, the Chinese food when it was delivered, stuff like
the
that.
The grunt work.
do anything. I didn't really get to my hands dirty, didn't necessarily love it. And I said, okay, this is not for me. And then I find myself graduating. I'm like, what am I going to do now? I go out to Nantucket with some buddies, and I'm working as a waiter in a restaurant out there, having a grand old time.
Born and raised in Connecticut, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Connecticut. Yeah. So I'm spending the summer on Nantucket, and they're filming a movie out there. And it's got John Cusack and Demi Moore. Never became a huge hit, but it was called One Crazy Summer. Yeah. And I was also another job where I was a tour bus driver on the island. That the movie company hires me to carry the actors back and forth all the different locations. I get kind of friendly talking to them, and I was talking to Demi Moore at the time, and I just said, "What if I wanted to try this?" And she's like, "Well, you don't want to just, you know, jump off a bus. You want to find a good school and really study it," because I really had done nothing like that ever. And so,
wait, let me stop you for a second. Yeah. You asked Demi Moore.
Yes, I know.
Hollywood
I know.
Royalty now. Right?
I know.
I think I'm going to do what you do.
I realize that just sounds kind of like, it's Demi Moore. It's not like we were super tight, but we had been spending like, you know, 3 weeks going back and forth and having lunches and stuff together with the whole cast and everything. I said, Miss Moore. I don't know what it was, but I asked Demi Moore. I said, you know, how do I try it? So she told me to apply to some schools. So I applied to three different schools, was rejected at all of them except one.
These are acting schools?
This is acting schools. So I ended up going to the American Academy for Dramatic Arts and spent 3 years there. It was great. And then I got thrown out the doors into like the wild world. And how do you get a job? Marty, I got put under contract with ABC within 2-3 months of graduating.
So you went from school, auditioned, landing an ABC contract.
All of a sudden, I'm walking in the front door with Susan Lucci and All My Children. Yeah, and so I did that gig, and then yeah, there, you betcha. There's big transitions in
Let's
here.
Let's not fast forward past All My Children. We're not going to go that fast. Okay.
Yeah.
Name of your character in All My Children. What was the plot?
Okay, I start off.
How many girlfriends did you have?
Interesting there. Okay, so I start off as Will Cooney, and they transition me to Will Cortland because Will Cooney, I was supposedly this relative of Palmer Cortland. He came from these backwoods roots in West Virginia. So my sister and I come in there, Will and Dixie Cooney, we come in. We want to, you know, get our hands in on some of this wealth that Palmer Cortland has been, you know, developing. So he takes us in, and then as he sort of cultivates me in from more of like a hillbilly into like someone who's working for his company, I then become Will Cortland. And I was involved with Julie Chandler at the time. Those are the two big families, the Cortlands and the Chandlers. And that was played by an actress named Lauren Holly. And the interesting thing is that my very first day of work, I'm also talking to all your friends over here, my very first day of work, they told
you
me.
You talk to that camera.
They said, okay, Lonnie, in terms of you and Dixie, I said, yeah, my sister. Yeah, we're not sure of that. So they play it sort of ambiguously, like vague. I mean, is it going to be a love interest or is it my sister? That's so far apart, but it ended up that, yes, she became my sister. That's just how the story went. And Julie Chandler.
Those storylines can change like quickly.
That's
right?
What I mean. Boom, boom. Yeah.
That's rapid fire. I mean, in the yep. soap opera business, right?
That would be crazy. So you talk about like learning your lines. Soap operas, you're taping a full hour every day. Every day you're going in there, you're in the whole show top to bottom. So that's about 60 pages of script. And you're getting that script. You were getting that script the night before. Think about that. Right now, I'm not in all 60 pages. Yeah. I may be in, look, it's a busy day.
You're dog earing all your lines.
I'm probably in like maybe 15, 20 pages if it's a busy day. But if I'm a back burner character, I'm in maybe 4 or 5 pages. Either way, you're getting it the night before. You got to learn it and go in that next morning and do the whole, you know, you take the whole hour show in one day. Whereas, let's say like you're on like a Law and Order. They're going to do maybe 5 pages in a day or so. And then you look at a movie. Movie can take months and months to get your 2 hours out of it.
Any part-time jobs while you were on All My Children?
Once I got the gig on All My Children, I didn't need the part-time jobs. I certainly had them prior to that. I was working as a waiter here in New York City. Worked at a gym in New York City. And then the craziest gig I had, probably one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life. I worked for
Malibu Rum, okay? And they were doing this campaign to try to just, you know, raise the profile of the brand. And I was Malibu Mike. I get cast as Malibu Mike. And all I've got to do is go around with this entourage all around the country. I go to all these cities all over the country. And they put billboards up in those specific towns when I go in there. And it says, it's my profile. And it says, recognize Malibu Mike and you can win $10,000. Ask him what his favorite drink is. So that's all the person's got to do. I'm in a bar. I don't do anything, Marty. I sit there with a drink at the bar. And if someone comes up and says, hey, Malibu Mike, what's your favorite drink? And they cut him a check right then and there for $10,000.
That is fantastic. So as I mentioned in your intro,
yeah,
this is a story that needs to be told. But now, Malibu Mike, really? What is Malibu Mike wearing? This is fantastic. Malibu Mike.
You and I had no idea we're going to go down this path.
Of course,
Malibu
not.
Mike wore, he wore, okay, if I was in like a warm climate town, let's say I'm in Miami, I'd have shorts on. But otherwise, I had a pair of jeans, something like that. But I always had a Hawaiian shirt on.
That makes sense.
There you go.
Your favorite drink was?
A Malibu Colada, which was Malibu rum and pineapple, which I still love to this day.
Talk about like, you know, getting your hours in there and you're learning your craft. Between that and then All My Children. So how many years in All My Children? 3 years?
About 3 year contract there. Then I went out to LA. As soon as that was done,
here in New York. Okay.
That was done. Yeah. That at that point in time, All My Children, One Life to Live, were right across the street up on 68th Street on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
When I was doing it. And so then I finished that. And then I've got these visions in my head. Like, I want to go out to LA now. I got to keep this ball rolling. I want to be a movie star. The folks in LA thought it was better that I become a waiter, and I was really not that good at it. Because for the first time in my life, I now experience those stores. Oh, God.
You mean like casting agents?
No, yeah, basically. Because for the first time in my life, I'm now getting those doors closed in my face. So I'd go in for these auditions, and I'd also told my agents at the time.
It came a little easier for you in New York, right? It came a little bit easier, right?
It's a different animal. First of all, out there, everybody in LA is an actor, or they're involved in the entertainment industry. Whereas here in New York City, there's, you know, we certainly have a footprint of the entertainment industry here, but it's not an overwhelming footprint, right? Out there, everybody is doing it. I took my dog in to get neutered, and as the doctor was getting ready to do the operation, he said, "See, I understand you're an actor." He's sort of checking my dog. I said, "I understand you're an actor." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I am as well. I used to do this on the side." I'm like,
"The vet." The bed with the guy neutering your dog?
With my dog.
Don't learn your lines while you're neutering my dog.
Exactly. So I get out there, I get to LA, and I start going up for only movie roles. I told my agents I didn't want to do any more soap operas, so I'm only going for movie roles. And Marty, it is just not, it's not happening. I get a lot of, "Oh, right, yeah, you're the soap actor." And look, there have been a few folks who have transitioned, Demi Moore being one of them,
sure,
that have really transitioned from soaps into big movies, Meg Ryan also. But for the most part, there's not a lot of people who make the transition.
You're kind of pigeonholed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. And a little bit. As a matter of fact, once I spent, enough time just not getting any work and I wanted to go back to work, I told my agents, I said, "All right, just get me a soap opera." And they put me on another soap opera. That was an easier thing for them to do. So I went to a show called Santa Barbara. And now, Marty, that term you just used is set in cement. Now I'm pigeonholed.
Right.
And it's not a bad life. Do not get me wrong. I mean,
you're blessed to have that gig.
You're a working actor. And you know, when we talk about working actor, a soap opera actor, I believe, is the only working actor who can leave on vacation and know there's a job to come back to.
Right? Yeah, that's great.
So I did that until that show got canceled. And that's really when I started to have to really transition into something. I'd gotten my pilot's license while I was on the show, while I was on Santa Barbara, and I fell in love with flying. I always wanted to get up into the atmosphere. I think I told you early on, I'm watching the clouds. I always wanted to get up.
Want to get closer.
Man, so I was up doing all my flying, getting a bunch of hours, and I tried getting a job with the airlines, and that just didn't work out for me. I couldn't get any traction. And I had a buddy who was a captain on American Airlines. And he said, "Look, why don't you finish up your meteorology studies and you can work."
You had started that?
I'm sorry?
You had started the meteorology studies?
Oh, I had started. Yeah, I had started. Okay, yeah. I took what Boston College had to offer. Boston College didn't offer a meteorology degree.
Yeah.
But it was encompassed within the earth science stuff. So I took all that. But I'd also then started my studies of meteorology when I'm getting my pilot's license, right? But you didn't need to complete it in order to get your license. They just want to have, you want to have a well-rounded knowledge of the sky you're flying in. So my buddy who was a captain said, hey, if you finish those studies, you can work as a forecaster at the airport. You're not going to necessarily get the job, but you'll at least know if someone's given up a route and you have the rating to fly that amount of tonnage that, hey, I can take this route for you. So I did that. And that's what I was doing. And while I'm doing that job, forecasting for pilots, okay?
At an airport?
At Santa Monica Municipal Airport, yeah. While I'm there, I get a call.
Such a great story.
I get a call while I'm at work from a news director in Charlottesville, Virginia, asking me if I wanted to be his new weatherman. The news director calls me. Well, his wife was checking out from the grocery store and just sort of thumbing through. And they had one of these things, where are they now?
Oh.
And it says, like, Lonnie Quinn, ex Will Cortland, all my children, is now working, you know, as a forecaster at Santa Monica Municipal Airport. I get the phone call at work, and he asked me if I would like to, you know, go back to TV, if I'd like to be his weatherman. Yep, absolutely. So sight unseen, I take that gig, right? I take the gig.
Yeah.
And
The use of the cameras, right?
And oh man, off I go. But you have, like, how this plays out is crazy. I get to Charlottesville, Virginia. I drive my car from Santa Monica to Charlottesville, Virginia. I get there.
You drove.
I immediately go on air. The next day I get put on air. Marty, I know that the screen is green. I have no idea how to work a chroma key, a green screen. I've never done anything like this, and I am terrible, terrible at it.
Was there a clicker then?
There's a clicker then,
yeah.
And I'm like, I know, it was just, and you know, you're pointing this way, and I...
Yeah, looking at the camera
like
that, yeah.
And it's just not going well at all, but that got me in there, and God bless Dave Kupp, my news director, just a fantastic man who had such patience with me, and turned me into something. And from there, I made a big jump. I went from Charlottesville, which is market 193. Basically, Nielsen keeps track of about the top 200 markets.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
From 193, you're way down the bottom. And I then got an offer to go to Miami, which was like in the top 10.
Wow.
And typically you'd go from like...
People saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went to Miami, and then from Miami, they saw me in New York, and I went to New York.
So you realize the story about where are they now usually happens when you're much, much older.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
In your 30s, right?
I was like, yeah. I was definitely in my 30s. You know what was funny though, Marty?
Where are they now?
I was in my 30s. Yeah, where are they now? Well, because when you're an actor, you fit into certain roles, right? Your stature, your gravitas, whatever, is appropriate for certain roles. So for me, and I remember my agents telling me when there just wasn't, I'd finished my second soap opera. I wasn't getting any gigs. I'm like, what's going on? They said, you know, you're in a tough position because you look like you're too young to play the young father, but you're too old to play the brooding teens. So we're like in an in-between stage right now. I'm like, well, then
agents can be brutal.
Be a weatherman.
Agents can be brutal, right?
Yeah.
Interesting though. I read a little story about you actually, yes, you were hired to be the weatherman, but you got a chance to real journalism.
Oh, yeah.
Right? In Charlottesville, right?
Oh, Charlottesville, Virginia is a great market for any young person who wants to get started because you're going to learn everything. It's a small enough market that they just don't have the staff and you've got to do everything. So I wasn't doing just weather there. I would do whatever came across my desk. And one day coming across my desk was a huge national story. Got picked up by CNN, got picked up by the world. And it was the Thomas Jefferson controversy about Sally Hemings and
sure.
and whether
she was one of his slaves,
his daughter.
And his daughter. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but you're right. But
Sally
was the slave, though, right? And then whether they had children, and then and that ends up being
there was some DNA that was different, current relative,
those people, and it caused a controversy. Huge story, and my hands are in it. CNN, I mean, this little tiny station in Charlottesville, Virginia. CNN is reaching out to me for interviews and things like that. It was an amazing time in my life.
It's amazing. And the opportunity was there and you took
huge. Oh, there's no doubt that that opened doors for bigger markets. Like I said, I went to Miami.
So I don't want to ignore the fact that you mentioned yourself, a little kid staring into the clouds, staring into the stars, right? You were fascinated with the way clouds move. At some point, you had to pinch yourself that you were doing exactly what that little kid was so interested in.
Marty, I am a firm believer that God never closes a door. He opens a window somewhere. I am doing what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
I know that. And everything I've talked to you about, be it Malibu Mike, be it my years as a soap opera actor, loved it. All I can tell you is I'm where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And sometimes I have almost like this keen sense of what I believe is going to happen forecast-wise. Sometimes that keen sense is spot on. Sometimes, Marty, it's dead wrong.
Yeah.
I'm one of the guys on TV, and this is not generally accepted, but I apologize when I get a forecast wrong.
Thank you.
I do. Because you know what? It's a science, Marty. Marty's laughing. It's a science. But it's an exact science.
I'm only laughing because I've busted your chops for like, how do you live with yourself if you only get it 50% right?
That phrase, the bane of my existence. Look, we are way, way, way better than 50%, right? I actually hate, anytime they'll put up rain chances at 50-50, I always tell my people in my office, I said, guys, we're not going to put up 50% for anything. That's flipping a coin.
Right.
Really? Okay. We can do better than that. Hedge it either 40 or 60 if you want. We don't put 50% up there.
You're in charge of the hedge, so.
But you know, look, as I said, I always go out and I own it when I don't get it right because, look, there's a lot of pressure to get it right. And I learned this a tough way. There was a storm it was a July 4th weekend, big tropical system, wasn't coming to town. It was staying well offshore. But a lot of times when those storms, if they're big enough, deep enough, they'll churn the waters up well offshore. That affects our waters at the shoreline. And I felt this storm, particular storm that I was looking at, would do that. So I talked to everybody about, you know, the big holiday weekend coming up, which is huge. It's 4th of July. And I just said, I think you're going to find the seas will be a little rough. Doesn't mean you don't go to the beach. Just be careful with the little ones going into the water, swim in protected waters and things like that. I said, what I wouldn't encourage is if you're doing any deep sea fishing trips, right? Marty, I got lambasted, and rightfully so. It turned out to be far enough offshore, and it quieted down enough. It didn't affect the waters, even for the deep sea fishermen, which I now know there's a big contingency out on Long Island and the Jersey Shore that make their living taking those tours out, and their biggest weekend of the year, they told me. July 4th weekend, and we're friendly now. But at the time, they were tearing into me. You know, that you've cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wow. as a conglomerate, right?
Yeah.
And I...
And no ill intent. You were just trying to keep people safe. No,
that's exactly right. But you know what? You learn from those things.
Sure.
You learn from those things. And
that's your community. That's your audience.
Yep.
Right?
And let's be real. I told the guys, because they have like this organization. I told them, I said, look, I want to make your life better, easier. I don't want to take money out of your pocket. Yeah. I'd like to put money in your pocket, right? I will work my darndest for that to never happen again. And I work real closely with those guys now.
That's amazing. They're probably your eyes and ears on the oceans there for you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, listen, I hear from them all the time. And sometimes, and I tell them exactly how I believe it's going to be. But like I said, it's an inexact science. The idea that someone out there is forecasting weather and they think they're 100% right all the time is lying to you. We're never going to be 100%. We've bumped our percentage of accuracy way, way, way up. And for me, I had one experience one time where I saw things coming together in the most catastrophic way that I had to take action on it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's an inspiring story. But before we get there, let's talk about Miami to New York. Who called? Because you got the call. I mean, that's the big time. You get called by New York Was it CBS?
No. Ironically, it was ABC. ABC called.
The competitor.
ABC called.
Full disclosure, Lonnie and I both work for CBS. He works for CBS New York. I work for CBS Sports.
Yeah.
And complete coincidence. Go.
So I get the phone call from ABC. And ABC had a good friend of mine who's been in the weather industry in New York City even longer than me, Sam Champion.
A friend of mine.
He was leaving, and they were looking for a replacement, and they wanted to see me. So I get flown up to New York. I take a day off from work, fly up to New York. I'm in, I'm out that same day, and I meet with everybody up there, and off I go. I go back to Miami. I get a call the next day, and it is from ABC making me an offer. And before I can accept that offer, they said, take a day, think about it. I get a call from CBS. And I told them that I believe I've got a deal already. And they just said, don't sign it. We're putting you on a plane tomorrow. So I'm like, now, how do you go back to your bosses in Miami and say, you know what, that cough came back? So I then fly back up to New York, and I meet with the CBS people. And then it was just really kind of just grinding it out in my mind. Like, where do I see myself? And you don't know, Marty. It's kind of like buying a house. Are you going to love it? Will you love the neighbors? Is it the perfect fit for you?
Yeah.
I didn't know. So I went with my gut, and I went with CBS. And I will tell you,
Was it because you didn't want to be in Sam Champion's shoes?
No.
Because Sam is a great guy and a friend of mine.
No. Sam's beloved.
Legend,
in New York City.
100%.
I saw an opportunity with CBS, all right? ABC was already the 800-pound gorilla in town, all right? I've got no problem sharing that. It's a fact. They've been number one for a long, long, long time. CBS wasn't even number three. It was in the number four spot.
Yeah.
And it was known as a revolving door. So talent came in. They lasted a year or two. Talent went out. And I thought I could make a mark there. I thought I could. It didn't start off easily for me at all, but I made my mark. I persevered, and it's been 18 years.
You've made your mark, young man. You've made your mark. Interesting how you described it. It sounded very much like getting the call for All My Children or getting the call to go to L.A. and getting those calls. It sounded very much like that excitement, that stamp of approval of sorts.
Yeah, and you know what?
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of Elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
That is a good parallel to draw. I used to get so excited when I would get the phone calls from, you know, my agent, hey, they want you for such and such project, when I was working as an actor. But when I was getting the calls from these big players, ABC, CBS, the CBS network, all that kind of stuff, equally as exciting, a different, you know, realm, if you will, but equally as exciting.
And a different path.
It's very different is exactly right.
So I'm going to tee up a story for you that is one of the things I was so excited about to be able to tell. Mm-hmm. So in 2012, there was a horrific storm in this area in New York City. And we are here at the beautiful, bizarre restaurant, the Ritz-Carlton Nomad. And this area especially was really hit hard. It was Hurricane Sandy, also known as Superstorm.
Superstorm Sandy,
Hurricane Sandy. So let me paint a picture. So I lived on the Upper East Side at the time in the 70s. The 70s on the east side of Manhattan, just to kind of paint a picture here, is actually above sea level, okay?
Yeah.
But Upper East Side is below sea level and Lower Manhattan is below sea level. And there was a lot of hype and, you know, battening down hedges and there was, warnings to shutter inside and evacuation orders, etc. Yeah. And you and I had been friends a while already. And
not everybody was following those
I know.
Orders.
But we were, you know, bouncing around, mm-hmm. see what the weathermen were saying.
Right.
And I remember telling my wife, Abby, and I said, I really want to know what Lonnie's thinking. Now, painting the picture for my audience here. There's no one better dressed on television for news than Lonnie Quinn, like you are today. The perfect suit, the perfect shirt, the perfect tie, the pocket square. Okay. he's doing the weather. He's going to look great doing it. And it's definitely a testament to you and your personality and the pride you have with you when you walk out the door. And you take that pride with everything you do. And I mean that sincerely because I know you as a friend, but
thanks,
everything you do, you take pride in. Now. Mm-hmm. So I know, I painted the picture. No one looks better dressed than Lonnie Quinn. Perfect. Oh,
okay.
I changed the channel. I put on channel 2.
What do you find?
I find Lonnie Quinn, jackets off, ties off, sleeves are rolled up.
Yeah.
And he's looking in the camera, telling everyone, this is the granddaddy of all storms.
I got in trouble for that.
I know. Granddaddy of all storms. People are going to die. And you were doing everything, going back to everything you've said from the beginning of this sit down. You took it so seriously, everything you did. And you were observing the potential of the storm. You were observing things developing offshore. You saw these planets aligning and you were saying to yourself, holy shit. You sung the warning bell. You told people how dangerous this is, including yours truly. We took it, like you said, we ignored it. We took it very seriously.
I remember, Marty, when I was working in Miami at the Hurricane Center. I'm working with Max Mayfield, and he told me one of his biggest concerns. Okay, he was concerned about New Orleans. Well, we all know what happened with Katrina after.
Katrina, yeah.
Okay, he was concerned with the Florida Keys. They will get another monster one in the near future, I believe. And he was concerned about New York. And I said, New York? I said, I'm from the Northeast. Why New York? Yeah. We don't have a big history. Now, we've had some big ones, right?
Sure.
But we don't have that kind of consistent history. He said, because they've just gotten two lackadaisical about it. And they just don't take it seriously. And there's going to be one that goes there. There will be one that goes there in our lifetime. Well, Max Mayfield, the soothsayer that he is, you know, he's right. And when I was looking at the computer models, because that's really what we're working off. We're working off of data that we're getting from that storm, be it from buoys, be it from, you know, drop sonds that the hurricane hunters are dropping from the aircraft into the storm itself.
Algorithms, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Scenarios.
That's exactly right. And look, all these computer models, whether you're talking about, okay, everyone knows about the European because the European nailed that storm, which they did. But, you know, there's also American models, the GFS, the Canadian model, all these different models, just algorithms. And you're punching in data from different layers of that storm. Which layer do you choose to pick? It all depends upon the models and things like that. So I'm looking at it, and there's really not consensus. Models are all over the place. There's one model that was on this from day one, and it's not the one you're thinking of. It wasn't the European. The European definitely got on it very early, but the number one model, and nobody thinks about this, it was the Canadian model, and I was watching that, and I'm watching it the whole time. No one in the world, it seems, is looking at the Canadian model. I'm like, boy, if this holds true.
If that scenario held true.
Oh, my God, Mark. And so then it's a Sunday night. Yeah, I'll never forget this. It's a Sunday night, and I'm working because the storm is offshore, right? It's offshore. And chances are on this Sunday night that it stays offshore, right? It'll be like an egg beater in the water, making our waves big, but somebody else, it's a storm for the fish. The Canadian had it curving, coming right to shore. The European curves it, brings it right to shore. And now I've got one really big player and another one to back it up. The big player is the European. But I'm like, we go on air right now. And some people might have this idea like, look, let's wait for another model run to see if we get, you know, bona fide consensus. Maybe this is just an outlier, a crazy bit of data it's spitting out. I said, nah, I think this is going to come together. So we broke into coverage to talk about the severity of this. And I think I told you I got in trouble for a couple of reasons. I used alarming inflammatory language. I wasn't using words that I didn't think were true, but maybe I could have come up with a gentler way to say it. I just don't know how you say it other than dying.
You did say people going to die, yeah.
And I wish...
You got my attention.
I wish that was wrong. I wish I had not been correct.
Hundreds of people died with hundreds of billions of dollars of damage.
That storm was a deadly storm. Yeah. And then I think I said also, you know, portions of the Jersey Shore will not be there in the morning after the storm finishes with us. And a lot of the Jersey
Shore... Portions of the Jersey Shore was
gone.
Not there.
I mean, we had roller coasters in the ocean, right?
But it was...
But it's also my timing, Marty. It's also my timing that I decide to go on air with this. It's mayhem. It's mayhem there. And it's also a weekend. There's not like a lot of people there. We end up going on air, and I go into 60 minutes. You don't touch 60 minutes at CBS News.
God.
You don't touch
God.
It. It's like, rap. And
you're going into their time.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish I could have done it differently and not. And then I was told that my general manager wanted to see me. I was told that the president of the network wanted to see me.
That was Les Moonves.
Yeah. And
was known as a difficult character to begin with.
I can only tell you that he and I always had a good working relationship. So I'm like, oh my God. So this is basically a career ender.
Yeah.
And
you thought for sure you'd be being fired.
Come on.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you took 60 minutes off the air.
And then with that, the storm hit and it did what it did, which was horrific. And
sad day indeed.
I called Les's secretary, and you know, and she was very nice answering the phone for me, and you know, we talked about the storm, that whole thing.
It was very nice. That's very funny.
And then I said Les wants to see me, and she goes, oh, about, yeah, don't worry about that, just forget about it.
Wow. Yeah. So you never had to actually go see
him. Well, yeah, and she said, I think he knows that...
It was the right thing to do. Yeah. Unsung hero, my friend. Unsung hero.
Well, you know what they ended up having me do? They had me, probably one of my biggest honors that I've ever received. I got asked to go and ring the opening bell on Wall Street. And it was, it wasn't necessarily ringing the bell, but it's when they announce you and all this thunderous applause comes up from these people that I don't know any of them, you know?
That's what I mean. It was your call to action. And this is the story that I knew that had to be told. And it's a beautiful story. Unsung, who would have thought? From soap opera actor to unsung hero, right?
Yeah,
and it was all based on that little kid being in love with those clouds.
Yeah.
And you saved so many people, man. You saved so many lives.
Well, thank you for saying that. I don't know any of that. I do know that that was a defining moment in my career.
Yeah. Who would have thought by me noticing, oh shit, Lonnie has his sleeves rolled up.
No, because basically what you're saying is, because you've prefaced it by saying, Lonnie's always the greatest looking guy on TV. Now I turn around, he looks like hell.
Yeah, I got to take him seriously now. So Lonnie, this is one of my favorite segments on our show. It's called Moving the Chains, and it's sponsored by Noble, an amazing company whose mission is to help their customers and help all of us not only meet your physical goals, but your emotional and spiritual goals. And you will be getting a pair of the most comfortable sneakers you've ever had. I don't leave anywhere without my Nobles. That said, the second Moving the Chains is really just a moniker for life. As you know, you move the chains, you get a first down in football, and it's a small win. It's not big. There's only 10 yards. It's a small win. You have enough small wins, you're having a great game, having a great day, right? And we always thought it was a wonderful moniker for life, the Moving the Chains. So I'd love to ask you now, do you have a non-negotiable that you do every single day, right, to help move those chains forward for you as your day begins?
Okay, every single day, my routine. I crunch numbers. I crunch numbers in the world of meteorology. That's what I do, okay? I look at all of my computer models and I crunch the numbers, and there you go. So
it's 50-50 all the time?
It's 50-50.
Just messing with you.
It's a tough room. So I crunch numbers. And for that, I do the, every day I do Sudoku, just sort of keeps me sharp in that regard. I also need to speak extemporaneously. All right. And I got to be quick, and you can't, like, look, we're having a great time sitting here talking, but I don't get this kind of time on TV. It's got to be tighter. What I do is I do this thing called, it's great. And my kids got it, Marty, as a game. I'm not kidding you. It's called 5 second rule. Has anybody heard of it? It's amazing, all right? You've got 5 seconds to name three things within a category. It just keeps you sharp.
Love
because
it.
I've got to be able to rattle things off fast. Look, some things are really simple, right? And it'll say, okay, you've got 5 seconds. Okay, name body parts, fingers, toes, knees. Okay, great. Name colors, red, blue, yellow. But then, you know, all of a sudden, name state capitals.
Right. It's harder and harder. Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it's a little harder. Yeah, right? I love how they're laughing over there.
It's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And so that's another thing that I do. Now, obviously, look, I go in and I scour all the weather data. I've got my own routines in the mornings. I'm getting up and I'm you know, having a cup of coffee and breakfast. I look at the current information that's coming out from National Weather Service, and I'm up to speed on a general feel for the day. And then I just enhance that, expound upon that when I get to work. And that's, I've been 2 hours working on that before I go on air.
But you also love to exercise. That I know. You know, you used to rollerblade all over New York. No, you used to exercise a lot. So I know that exercise is part of that equation.
Oh, no. That's every day now.
Yeah.
We've got lots to talk about here, Marty. You're right. So
it's not just a shoe. It's an innovative, personalized treatment for your body designed to relieve knee or lower back pain and get you moving better. Apos, precisely what you need.
When I lived here in town, I only got back and forth on my rollerblades, right? Then
you
I moved
to my office in rollerblades.
Yeah, all the time. And then, I remember, wow, this is funny. I remember coming into work one time, and I was blade kind of fast, and you wear that breakout on the back of your blade pretty quickly. So I had worn the breakdown to where I was actually scraping the screw that holds
right,
it in.
Sure.
So there's sparks coming out behind me, right?
Yeah.
And Marty, I'm coming in like a bat out of hell. And I'm going to go in the revolving doors, not knowing there happens to be somebody already coming out. So just entering on the other side, it was Katie Couric, who's a dear friend, right? But so I come into that revolving door like I just got a head of steam, right? And I sort of push the door, which Pulsar. Out, yeah, out onto the carpet. And like, so I, of course, spin around. And she's like, I knew it, Lonnie Quinn. I knew one of these days. And I'm like,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then I have a Deborah Norville story too.
That's memorable, right?
Yeah. The Deborah Norville story is a funny one too. I was getting in the elevator at work. So Deborah Norville is the anchor on Inside Edition. And I'm getting in the elevator on my blades. But I've also stopped off at one of the little fruit stands in New York City. And I,
as one does.
And I bought a bag of lychees. All right. So I get in.
Good for martinis.
And I go to crack the lychee, right? So I can then peel it open. So I crack it like this. And it squirts juice all over the side of Deborah Norville's face. And she goes, oh my God, what is that? And I'm like, just, it's a lychee.
Do you want a lychee? She was on that show forever.
But for me in fitness, yeah, every day. So yeah. On my typical day, when I do the 5 o'clock news, the 6:30 evening news, and then I have a break until the 11 o'clock news, that's the time when I go to the gym.
There you go. Now you got a pair of nobles to catapult you into the greatness.
To catapult me there.
Okay.
Comfortably catapult me.
Give me 2 minutes on the clock. We're going to do a little rapid fire drill that we call a 2 minute drill. Right?
Okay.
You know, simple questions. You give me a short answer. You don't think too much. All right.
Okay.
First song on your favorite playlist?
The Weight.
Oh, attaboy. Yes.
By the band.
I know. We play that in my band and we love that song.
Marty has played at my house, by the way.
Yeah, my government band has played at his house. Great house, by the way. We're actually neighbors in town in Westport. All right. Most important lesson you learned in this crazy journey of left turns, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. What's that? What is your favorite lesson, you think?
For me, embrace failure.
Yeah.
Embrace it because sure. I don't believe you can get to uber success without some failures along the way.
Basically, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
You got to be comfortable with reinventing yourself.
I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
What is the most underrated part of being a meteorologist? Because you are a science geek.
Mm-hmm. What I love about it that most people don't know is every part of the newscast is scripted. They're reading off of teleprompters. I love the fact that the weathercast is the only part of your newscast that is just me winging it. I love that. That's it. There's no words in that screen. It's just me talking.
I love that. And that's something I love about when I do sports and do my injury analysis. All my anchors have their teleprompter.
Right.
And I'm memorizing my lines.
So you got to know your stuff.
Yeah.
Because if they get lost, it's easy to just look up and pick a word on the screen and read it, right?
That's the same thing I would tell
people. We've got to know our stuff.
Lonnie, okay, now let's talk about something very dear to your heart and some of your personal challenges. Your whole story, your whole journey has been resiliency. It's been, like you said, just moving, rolling with the punches. You recently, you know, suffered a head injury that was that you actually didn't realize how serious it was. And it knocked you out, man. And you recently came back to work. And that journey from injury, setback, to coming back, quite emotional, hasn't it been?
Well, okay. It is now. Marty, hear me on this. This will be my platform, all right? Because everybody, you know, working in the position that I work in, they're obviously doing something for juvenile diabetes, cystic fibrosis, something like that.
Sure.
And I've certainly done all of that. And cystic fibrosis has been near and dear to my heart. But I'm just telling you, now that this is the walk that I walk myself, it's all about head injuries and stuff. Yeah, so I was in a car accident, New Year's Eve. Wake up in the hospital.
Driver or passenger?
I was a passenger. And I wake up and once they finish all their tests and they determine that my brain is not bleeding, I get discharged. My only instructions, Marty, alternate Tylenol and Motrin every 2 hours. So I do that. As a matter of fact, I go back to work, just my regular day. And I'm wobbly and I'm fuzzy, and like not really clear, but good enough I think I can get by. Well, that's good enough is not right. And if you're not right, you need to know that. So I'm walking, I'm kind of bouncing off walls a little bit as I'm going down the hallway, just kind of wobbly, right? But then one day I'm walking out into
the set. That's just after a good party, though.
That's exactly right. But that's the funny part about it is, and I remember getting to Gaylord Rehabilitation Hospital and filling out this questionnaire, and one of the questions was, do people think you've been drinking, right? Yeah. Because, this car accident caused a concussion. And I ended up losing the vision in my left eye. It came back about an hour or so later, but at that point in time, I was walking out onto the news set, and boom, I can't see out of my left eye. And this is a month and a half after the accident, Marty. They then CBS sends me back to the hospital. CBS has been great throughout this whole process. I go back to the hospital.
They had to call an ambulance, no?
Oh, yeah. So I go back to the hospital. Yeah. And now they determine, because I think maybe I'm having a stroke, left side, top right.
Sure.
Not a stroke. They say, you need to see a neurologist right now. The neurologist says, how were you not diagnosed with a concussion? He said, you've got a pretty serious concussion. You need to be working just half days. So I go back to work now because my vision comes back. I go back the next day. I'm on a half day schedule until that doctor gets my MRI results back.
The same doctor.
The same doctor. We hadn't had an MRI so far. We had CAT scans for bleeding. No MRI. Now the MRI comes back. He calls me. We end up having a big joint conversation with my boss, myself, and Dr. McAllister, who is a rock star. And he says, okay, I've got the MRI. This is not a concussion. This is a traumatic brain injury. And our guy has to be off work entirely. And that's where I've been for 6 weeks. I just came back last week. So I kind of feel like it's like Lonnie Quinn 2.0 or something.
A little reset. Well, God bless, my friend, because I know how serious it was. I know the mind-body connection, you lose a little bit of that connection because of the constant worry, anxiety, you know, seeing your life flash before your eyes and will I ever be normal? Yeah. But you've done it, man.
And it is funny, you talk about how the anxiety, and there's huge anxiety there. And my doctor said to me, the best thing you can do at this stage of the game, because first of all, the brain only heals, I'm telling you, right? I had no idea this was in your wheelhouse. Marty has done all of my physical therapy, be it knees, ankles, backs, everything like that. This is the guy. And I just didn't think this was in your expertise. But of course, you do all the concussion therapy for the NFL. I don't know what I'm thinking of.
I report on it.
I report
on the severities of concussions. Well, that my own kids, you know, adolescents and concussions, turf fields, and helmets, choices, all that.
Yeah.
But you know how disappointed I was when you didn't tell me.
But you know, you're also my go-to guy. But yeah. I will say, you know, this knocked me for a loop.
Yeah.
So they end up sending me up to Gaylord Rehabilitation Hospital, which is like a head trauma mecca our country. That's I'm up there with really great people, and a shout out to all the folks up there. But I also know that there are people that are in much tougher situations than I am up there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm up there, Marty, saying, why am I here? I feel wobbly and I feel a little foggy. Why am I here? Why am I off work for 6 weeks? And they told me that it's their responsibility to find where the deficiencies lie. I don't think anybody's heard this story, but I first go in, have my assessment done. All I'm doing is there's a big touch screen and a dot pops up for 1 second. It's on the screen for 1 second, Marty. All you gotta do is touch the dots. They're kind of testing your peripheral vision and stuff like that. Fine, I get a 98 on it. After that, they said, you're gonna do the same thing again. But this time, there's gonna be a letter A in the middle of the screen. If that letter A is still, just do your dot thing, touch all the dots. If it's flashing, you can't touch another dot until you touch the letter, then go back to touching the dots. I got a 98 the first time, that letter A flashing, I got a 44. And I like melted. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? And they said, look, we do this 10 times a day, every day, with everyone who walks through this door. Sit tight. We've got you for 6-7 weeks. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, because the brain is plastic and it did recover, and God bless. I'm so glad you did. I want to end you on one last question, because you know how thrilled I am that you came back. You're on the other side of this. And I know with your voice and your passion, you're going to create opportunities to bring education to traumatic brain injuries, to concussions.
That's what I want to do.
And you know I'm going to help you with that.
You got to, because so many people, Marty, when they bang their head, what do? They put ice on it.
Sure.
And that's the
thing. Or they just say, I got my bell rung and leave it at that.
Yeah. It's almost like a badge of honor.
100%.
Whoa, man, I got clocked.
Especially in sports.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about a segment I call Thoughts from 30,000 Feet.
Okay.
Simple little reflection. You've had an incredible, moving, inspiring career. A few careers. Nothing better than Malibu Mice.
That's right. You got to get paid for this. This is the most fun I've ever had.
I'm telling my kids, I sat in front of Malibu Mice. That's another thing. That said, if you had the honor of sitting here with 18-year-old Lonnie Quinn, right? What would you tell him?
You know what I would tell them? I would say, invest in Facebook. True story, Marty. True story, everybody. This is outrageous. All right. I would tell that 18-year-old kid, I'd say, hey, Lonzo, here's the deal. 20 years from now, Lonzo, you are going to be given the opportunity to receive 1% of Facebook if you will do an interview with a very young Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin. Swear to God,
Marty. We're twins.
And what happened was, so my wife's family is very good friends with the Saverins. Eduardo Saverin is the co-founder.
Sure.
We call him Dudu, right? Well, Dudu goes up to Harvard, Zuckerberg, they do their whole thing. We're having Thanksgiving at Dudu's house. Again, this is 2007, maybe, something 2008. I'm having Thanksgiving dinner there. He comes over, gets me kind of cornered, and he says, Lonnie, you know, can I come on your show? At the time, I was doing a 10 o'clock sort of infotainment show, and I could make it work. And I'm new to dating my now wife, so I want to impress the family and friends and do whatever would make them happy. I said, absolutely, let's pick a date. So we start looking for a date that's going to work, and now my now sister-in-law, so the younger sister of my wife, comes up, and Dudu and Tyann went to school together, and she comes and she goes, oh, Dudu, are you talking about your MySpace thing again? You are not going on Lonnie's show.
MySpace.
Right? And
the rest is history.
He goes, please, Lonnie, please. I'll give you, I'm authorized to give you 1% of the company. And what? I said, you know, Dudu, I said, we'll do your next one. Tyann is right. It's a visual medium. I need to have more than just talking heads out there.
And your beautiful wife, Sharon, actually stayed with you without the 1%.
Everybody talks about, oh, by the one thing I should, that, I could have made some. Are you kidding?
You're so much pressure for your team. Lonnie, you're the absolute best.
No. Right? I'm in your shadow, buddy.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Oh, it's
so great.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.